Allow me, Excellency, to thank you and congratulate you once again for the open, transparent, and inclusive manner in which you have conducted these consultations. We are encouraged by the fact that so many delegations acknowledge clearly the urgent need to strengthen the protection of civilians when hostilities take place in urban areas. We are also encouraged by the firm commitment to ensure full compliance with international humanitarian law, in particular in environments where respect for the law is very challenging, such as in cities. We look forward to seeing both put in practice by all parties to armed conflicts. Over the past decade, in many conflicts around the world, the use of heavy explosive weapons in populated areas has taken an acceptable toll on civilians. It is measured in the thousands of women, men, boys, and girls who were killed, injured, and psychologically traumatized, in the number of homes, hospitals, and schools destroyed, and the vital infrastructure disrupted, in the millions displaced, struggling to get back their life and dignity, in the countless unexploded ordnance littering streets and backyards, and in the huge development setbacks and billions in recovery costs. Reducing the grave risk that heavy explosive weapons pose to civilians is an urgent humanitarian imperative. As we have said time and again, it is also too often a legal requirement. Inability to change the fate of civilians in urban areas in a meaningful manner would be a failure of the international community as a whole. What does it mean to comply with international humanitarian law? It means reviewing and adapting policies and practices to reflect not only operational reality, but also humanitarian considerations. It means acknowledging the risk posed by those weapons which were most concerned when assessing the evidence offered by recent urban warfare. It means implementing concrete measures to avoid or at least minimize such risk. Ultimately, it means taking into consideration the risk of civilian harm in its full extent, direct or indirect, short or long term, when assessing the legality of attacks and of the choice of using specific weapons. There may be specific instances where heavy explosive weapons can be used in accordance with IHL, even in populated areas. But in many, if not most, situations, this will be very difficult to achieve. It requires specific mitigation measures to be put in place to limit the wide area effect of such weapon and the high risk of civilian harm. This also requires identifying, developing, planning for, and implementing at the strategic, operation, and tactical levels alternative weapons, munitions, and tactics. Effectively protecting civilian lives may require taking a step back and, as a matter of policy, avoiding the use of such weapon in order to prevent the risk of civilian harm and of IHL violations. In our view, the political declaration should establish the framework for such a policy and for the urgently needed shift in mindset, policies, and practices. As we said in our opening statement, considering that every state involved in armed conflict over the last decade have claimed to have fully complied with IHL, simply recommitting to do so is unlikely to change the situation in a meaningful manner. We therefore urge states to keep the bar high and to produce and adopt a strong political declarations with meaningful, concrete commitments capable of effecting real change on the ground. As many have said, the political declaration will not be the end of efforts to protect civilians, and we fully agree. It will need to be implemented through practical measures to drastically curb the use of heavy explosive weapons in populated areas. These measures must serve to implement the law and go as much beyond the law as necessary to effectively strengthen the protection of civilians based on the political commitments adopted through the declarations. These commitments are therefore critical both for the declaration itself, but also for the follow-up process. What matters is the recognition that existing policy and practices and their implementation in urban warfare over the last decade does not adequately protect the student population from devastating humanitarian consequences, and that therefore it is urgent to take the necessary measures to change this situation. By avoiding the use of heavy explosive weapons in populated areas through preventive and mitigation measures, parties to armed conflict will both reduce civilian harm and facilitate respect for international humanitarian law, a goal I know we all share. We look forward to seeing this process conclude with a meaningful outcome worthy of the time and effort so many delegations have put into it, and first and foremost, your delegation, Mr. Chairman. Civilians suffering daily in armed conflict around the world from the use of heavy explosive weapons ill-suited to urban warfare deserve an outcome that is commensurate with the gaping need to strengthen their protection and achieve the very object and purpose of international humanitarian law. We trust that the delegation in this room will be able to rise to the challenge. Thank you very much.